are Locked On Spurs, your daily San Antonio Spurs podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Is there a lot of fire? Because there's a lot of smoke going on right now in regards to DeJounte Murray. Welcome back to Locked On Spurs right here on the Locked On NBA Network. I'm your host, Jeff Garcia, Spurs writer for Kins 5 San Antonio. Glad to have you back. Look, it looks like DeJounte Murray and his name and trade rumors just won't die. Are you buying this? Are you selling this? Is it fact or fiction? We're going to be talking about that, as well as getting into the Spurs' second first-round pick in the 2022 NBA draft, that Malachi Branham out of Ohio. We're going to have our guest discuss his thoughts on Branham. Then we're going to have a special guest. The host of Locked On Buckeyes is going to come on later on the show to discuss more in depth of what Brandon is going to bring to the Spurs, who is joining me today. He is Michael Jimenez with San Antonio Sports Star. Try to follow him on Twitter at MikeESPNSA. He is the host of Halftime. Mike, the dust has settled. The draft is over, but it seems there's a more pressing issue right now. That is the future of DeJounte Murray in San Antonio. First of all, welcome back. And my goodness, is this a case of where there's smoke, there's fire?
You know, it's crazy. I'm coming around to the fact that there might be a little bit of fire when it comes to it all. Fact of the matter is that I guess the question is, how long is this rebuild going to take? Because DeJounte is not on contract for much longer than just 2 years, right? So right. Because of that, the Spurs drafted 3 first-rounders. If that's the direction the Spurs are going into, and it's a complete reset, and we're in full-on rebuild mode, and the Spurs can't get a DeAndre Ayton, can't get a Zach LaVine, I would understand entertaining offers.
I get it. And, well, first, a quick recap. You have not heard, there's been various reports, specifically from Bleacher Report's Jake Fisher, saying that the Hawks and San Antonio have been having multiple discussions regarding DeJounte Murray going to Atlanta. John Collins' name is being thrown out there, whether he lands in San Antonio as part of a bigger trade. The point is, this San Antonio-Atlanta trade rumor is just heating up. Mark Stein recently reported that he heard that there's discussions as well. It seems there is a lot of smoke here, but at the end of the day, Michael, look, if you trade DeJounte Murray, you're going to get yourself a nice return. I would say his stock is probably at the highest right now. All-star berth, was a walking triple-double for the most part last season. Became the face of the franchise. Would Michael Jimenez, if he was GM for the day, San Antonio, pull a trigger on a DeJounte Murray deal?
If it's 3 first-round draft picks, I would really consider it. Again, it just depends on how deep of a dive we're going to go into when it comes to this rebuild. You know, keep in mind, I think the play-in tournament kind of masks the fact that that was the worst Spurs record in over 25 years. And because of that, we need to kind of self-evaluate. Now, I understand there are a lot of DeJounte Murray fans, and who wants to get rid of somebody who is averaging 21-9-8, right? Who wants to do that? But at the same time, I look at it and I ask the question, does DeJounte want to be here long term? If he does want to be here long term, that's going to mean paying him $35 million a year beginning in a few years. And do you as a Spurs fan, do we as Spurs fans think that that is worth it when it comes to the rebuild? Because not only do we need to pay DeJounte, but we need to pay Keldon. We need to pay Devin Vassell when that time comes, and maybe a Joshua Primo. And it's just one of those things where you take a look at it, and you're right. Just like investments, you buy low and sell high. This is the highest point that he will ever be worth because there's 2 years left on his contract, because he's young, and because people know what he can do. And I look back at it. What did the Spurs get for LaMarcus Aldridge?
Nothing.
How many cents on the dollar did we get for Kawhi?
Maybe 50 cents.
You know, maybe 50 cents, right? And then how many cents on the dollar did we get for DeMar DeRozan? That's why I think that this is something that needs to be entertained. I'm not saying that this is something that I want, but it's something that I think needs to be entertained. Over the weekend, and I was listening to all these podcasts from Atlanta Hawks fans and whatnot. I don't think it was Locked On Hawks or anything like that, but it was something related to like Bleacher Report mm-hmm. or whatever.
Right.
And they were talking about the fact that the Hawks drafted, I believe at number 16, A.J. Griffin. And they're like, you know, the Hawks didn't even work him out. So why are the Hawks drafting somebody that they didn't work out or didn't spend much time with? And they're under the impression that that was a pick for another team.
It's interesting. San Antonio. San Antonio definitely needs, you know, obviously, you know, to get better, rebuild through the draft. That's the only way this team is going to get back to prominence. And if you bring in a younger player to mesh with the young players they just drafted, it makes sense. But look, you know, what's that old adage in San Antonio? You know, whenever the Spurs name is highly active in trade discussions, it usually means nothing. It's when they're quiet. But I think this is a different era. This is a different situation. A new regime, Brian Wright, who was heavily active ahead of the trade deadline. And you look at the situation the Spurs are in right now. Man, Michael, how many teams got better overnight at the draft that are in their own conference, in their own division?
Oh, I know.
You know, they gotta hit the acceleration button quick.
Yeah, the Rockets got better. We know the Pelicans are gonna get better. Heck, I even like what Golden State did. You know, the fact of the matter is that, you know, the Spurs are facing down the barrel of another losing season. That's just it's just the reality. I mean, the Spurs could actually be a better team but have a worse record because that's how stacked the West is. Unless the Spurs have an all-star in the mix that is beyond DeJounte Murray. If Keldon Johnson becomes that guy or Devin Vassell becomes that guy and they're playing all-star level, not playing better, but playing at an all-star level, then the Spurs are looking at another 25-win season next year. And that's the thing. Imagine being DeJounte Murray, entering your final season with the Spurs, being part of Clutch Sports, and coming off a 26-56 record and having one season left on his contract. You think he wants to sign an extension, even if it is for the max?
Nope.
Or do you think he'd want to go someplace where he can win? That's why these conversations need to be had.
And let's not forget, too, he put it out there the moment the Warriors won the title that he wants to win a title himself. That ain't going to happen in San Antonio for quite some time, you know, albeit, you know, minus some sort of blockbuster deal that nets you top picks or established all-stars right now. But you look at the situation, at the end of the day, I don't see it happening. You know, unless there's another team involved, maybe they could have sweetened the pot, you know, force San Antonio to pull the trigger. Here's the thing. DeJounte Murray, as good of a player he is, and he's a damn good player, but he's not franchise. You know, he's not somebody that's going to put the team on his shoulders and carry this to the final game and win it all, a la Tim Duncan. Do you think Spurs fans are kind of getting blinded by that? They just think he made an all-star. He's protected. He's untouchable. I'm still on the side of DeJounte Murray is not untouchable.
Yeah, I'm going more on that belief as well. I mean, you know, I think Spurs fans, and it's not just Spurs fans. I mean, it's Dallas Cowboy fans. It's whoever you're cheering for. We tend to over-evaluate or overvalue rather the players that wear our colors. And when you take a look at DeJounte Murray is a fantastic player. I think he's the fourth or fifth best point guard in the NBA.
Yeah,
to ask the question, is he worth a franchise? Is he a franchise player? No, he's not. He would be an ideal number two guy on a championship team. But as far as I don't see that.
Yeah. And look, it's no surprise that, you know, the Spurs, you know, are mentioned among trade rumors, specifically this one, this Atlanta-San Antonio Murray deal, supposedly, that's on the table. Because I would hope that Brian Wright is looking to make this team better. I would hope that the Spurs are looking to make moves to accelerate this rebuild. And if it means involving DeJounte Murray, so be it. So I'm glad that they're active if these reports are true. This tells me they're doing their job. They're evaluating what they can do to make this team better sooner than later. And you also throw in the fact, too, that the three rookies that they drafted, they ain't going to be, you know, starting immediately, or you know, they're not going to be turning the franchise from a 30-plus win team to a 50-plus win team overnight, a la David Robinson or Tim Duncan. So there is a rebuild continues. But at the end of the day, Michael, fact or fiction, are you buying or selling that DeJounte Murray will be wearing a Spurs uniform next season?
I'm buying that he will, but I'm also buying the fact that he's being shopped around. One last thing about it is that from a public relations standpoint, trading DeJounte Murray would be one of the most unpopular things that the Spurs have ever done. Even though you and I as basketball fans can look at it from a perspective of just talent itself, the fact of the matter is that a lot of fans get attached to certain players. Spurs fans were attached to Tim, Tony, and Manu. Back in the day, were attached to Robinson and Sean Elliott. Back before that, George Gervin. Mm-hmm. If without DeJounte Murray on this team, who exactly will Spurs fans be attached to? I talked to some Spurs fans who say, man, Michael, I have a hard time cheering for this team, not because I don't want the Spurs to win, but because, you know, I don't identify with anybody on the court. I don't know who these guys are. They're all young. And because of that, I think it'd be very difficult for the Spurs to get rid of DeJounte Murray. But, man, John Collins, two or three first-round draft picks and a couple of swaps.
Yep.
Gah!
Yeah. Yeah, that'll definitely help this rebuild the Spurs are on. Hey, we're not done talking. When we get back, we're going to be shifting focus now on the Spurs' number 20 pick in the 2022 NBA draft. He is Malik A. Branham. We're going to be discussing him. What is Michael Jimenez's thoughts on the pick? And does he believe that this signals perhaps the end of a certain current Spur in Spurs colors? But just quickly, thanks for making Locked On Spurs your first listen each and every day. We're free and available wherever you get podcasts, as this episode is also brought to you by Rock Auto. With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it's now impossible for your local chain auto parts store to stock all the parts you need. You have computers with access to rockauto.com at home and in your pocket. Go to it right now. Save time and money when using Rock Auto. Rock Auto is a family business serving do-it-yourselfers for over 20 years. And those prices are always reliably low for each and every customer. You need brake parts, they got it. Tail lamps, they got it. Carpet, they got it. Motor oil, they got it. Go to rockauto.com. Go explore their easy-to-use website today. Find the solution to your auto part needs. Go to rockauto.com right now. See all the parts available for your car or truck. And write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that we sent you. An amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. We're back with Michael Jimenez right here on Locked On Spurs. He is the host of Halftime on San Antonio Sports Star. In just a few seconds, he'll tell you how to check out his show and how to tune in. So, Jimenez, it's been a while since you've been on Locked On Spurs, but I'm glad you're back because I want to get your thoughts on the Spurs' 20th pick overall in the first round, Ohio guard Malachi Branham. My first question right off the bat is this. Does this signal perhaps the end of Lonnie Walker in San Antonio?
Man, that's exactly what I tweeted the second that the pick was made. I was like, this is the end of Lonnie Walker. And I'm a big Lonnie Walker guy, dude. I still own stock in Lonnie Walker. I think he's going to be a successful NBA player. You know, he averaged 12 points last season, was doing very well the last 2 months of the season after the Spurs got rid of Derek White. I am tired of hearing Spurs fans look at Lonnie Walker and say, well, that's just going to be another Jonathan Simmons, as though he's going to go over someplace else and fail.
Right.
I will bet the other way. I bet you that when he does leave the Spurs, he will find a team, latch on, succeed, average 16 points per game or more. Book it. It's going to happen. He's a talented player. He was drafted in the teens in the first round of the NBA draft. He wasn't like Jonathan Simmons, who you know, was never drafted in the NBA.
Yeah, Austin Spurs, walk-on.
Yeah, had to do all that stuff. No. This guy is first-round draft pick quality and pedigree. We've seen what he can do. And the fact of the matter is that the Spurs did Lonnie Walker dirty. And because of that, his contract, whatever he's going to get, whether it's the Spurs or somebody else, they cost that man money. Man, I was reading a column the other day on The Athletic where they were talking about all the NBA free agents and how much they can expect to make this year. They're expecting Lonnie Walker to make less than what he did last year.
Oh, my goodness.
That's ridiculous. The Spurs ruined his value. The Spurs never gave him any consistent minutes and never gave him a consistent role. When he finally got that consistent role, he did well in February, March, and April this past year. I'm a big Lonnie Walker fan. That being said, the drafting of Branham did signal the fact that Lonnie Walker probably won't be back. Branham going over there and knocking down 42.5% from three last year, knocking down over 80% from the free throw line, 6'4". He's got some potential there. It's just a hard reset, man. Mm-hmm. And I'm happy with the pickup. Most mock drafts have Branham going in the top 16. Spurs get him at 20. Get him. He's a talent. Yeah. Make it happen.
Yeah, ahead of the selection, I think it was on ESPN, they had him, you know, Branham, the number one best player available. And with Brian Wright signaling to everybody in San Antonio in the world that they were going to go with best player available each and every time, they did that. Mm-hmm. Explosive offensive guy. If Spurs need buckets, they can give him the ball and he can create a solid defender. You know, can use some work on that. In just a minute, our special guest, Jay Stevens from Locked On Buckeyes, gets in more in depth about his that Malachi Branham's, you know, off the court, you know, character. I think Spurs fans are going to love to hear what he has to say, as well as more on the court, what he saw when he was wearing the Buckeyes uniform. But I look at this guy, Branham, and I know he's a bucket getter. He's going to spend perhaps the bulk of his time with the Austin Spurs, albeit barring what happens with Lonnie Walker. Maybe that changes things. But why can I see, Jimenez, Branham slowly forcing the Spurs to say, you know what, maybe he's better off in San Antonio than Austin after, what, about a few games in an Austin Spurs uniform?
Well, you know, there's only 15 roster spots available on an NBA team, and the Spurs have three of them in the first round this year that are guaranteed contracts, and then you have Joshua Primo from last year. So the idea that the Spurs are going to just simply be sending these guys to Austin does not make any sense mathematically. Don't get me wrong, one or two of them will be in Austin at any given point in time, getting some reps and whatnot. But these young guys are going to be on the bench. You know, they're going to be suited up at the AT&T Center when the season starts, even on game one. So when I look at it, I think he'll be given a shot. Because I think the Spurs need to find out exactly what do they have. What kind of talents do they have? I was pleasantly surprised that Pop was willing to play Primo so much last year. And you know what's so funny is that I say that it's so much. It's not a lot compared to other rookies, but it's just more than what the Spurs have been willing to do over the years. So now with three rookies, wow. This mm-hmm. is uncharted waters for Greg Popovich. And I wonder how he's going to take it. Four players that are 19 years old. You had a 21 and a 22-year-old. I mean,
it's basically a college team out there. It's a college team out there.
The oldest Spur is 30 years old. Josh Richardson, 30, is the oldest Spur. That used to be one of the young guys back in the day. So, we are in uncharted waters here, and I can't figure out whether this is going to signal like this is the last of Greg Popovich's years, or if this is going to signal the fact that he's going to stay another four or five to see these guys through. Kind of weird.
Yeah, it is weird. But as far as the Branham pick, what would your grade be for the Spurs when they were up at 20?
Dude, it's an A-, man. It was the best player available. I don't know if I'd say A minus. That sounds like, well, what would have made it an A plus? I guess the question is that what is the line of thinking for not packaging the 20 and 25 to move up to get a different player, to get a Williams, or to get a center out there, a Duren or whoever was available in the mid-teens? That's the only thing that would prevent me from saying that it was an A plus. So my line of thinking, Jeff, is one of two things. Either the Spurs are looking at this and thinking to themselves, you know, we're going to trade one of these guys, and it's going to be part of an elaborate plan that started before the draft, you know, like trading to Atlanta or going after DeAndre Ayton.
Mm-hmm.
Or it might just be the Spurs throwing their hands up in the air and saying, we drafted 3 first-rounders and 1 last year in Primo. We're just hoping 2 of these guys pan out.
Throwing spaghetti at the wall, see what sticks. I mean, that's exactly one of the best approach there. All right, so there he is. He is Michael Jimenez with San Antonio Sports Star Halftime. Michael, tell everybody how they can check you out.
Yeah, Halftime goes from 12 to 2 Monday through Friday on San Antonio Sports Star, the new 94.1, man. We are all over South Texas. We used to be kind of just inside of 1604 and a little bit outside of it, but now we're all the way to South Austin. You can hear us halfway to Houston. You can hear us in parts of the valley and out into the hill country. It's amazing. But, again, we're from 12 to 2 on 94.1 FM. Some of us like us still on AM. That's on 1250. But it's a show that basically revolves around not only sports, but pop culture, streaming, movies, music, nostalgic things. Yeah. It's a fun show.
Awesome. Make sure to follow Michael on Twitter at MikeESPNSA. Michael, you always have an open door here at Lockdown Spurs. You know, you just knock on it and we'll let you in. You can grab a seat. So we appreciate you coming on. But up next, Jay Stevens, my colleague over at the Locked On Network. He is with Locked On Ohio Buckeyes. He's going to be talking to you and us about, you know, what to expect from Malachi Branham. You heard what Michael Jimenez had to say. What does Jay Stevens have to say about the newest member of the Spurs? Better line. Let's talk about that. Is your number one source for all your betting needs and sports info. Find all the latest sports developments, league reviews, and news, including this year's NHL playoffs, Major League Baseball, and much, much more. BetOnline is your continued source for all your sporting wagering information, including live betting, esports, and scores. Also, check out what are the lines right now for the trio of Spurs rookies to win the Rookie of the Year award next season. It's right there at BetOnline, which remains the best spot for all your sports scores, podcasts, and news. BetOnline.net is the fastest and easiest way to check in to all your favorite sports events, including MMA, boxing, and golf. Head to the website today. Use your mobile device. Learn more about the trends and action. BetOnline, where the game starts. All right, let's go ahead and chat with my colleague over at the Locked On Network. He is Locked On Buckeyes podcast host, Jay Stevens. And if the name of the show didn't give it away why he's here, he's going to be talking to us about Malachi Branham. A lot of Spurs fans were loving the pick, three-level scorer. But who is he? What can Spurs fans expect? I go to the expert, Mr. Jay Stevens. Jay, welcome to Locked On Spurs.
Jeff Garcia, I'm happy to be with you. I'm glad to be on the Locked On Spurs podcast. I'm happy to talk basketball. I am from the state of Indiana. I'm a Hoosier. Basketball's in my blood. So anytime I get a chance to talk ball with someone, I love it. So thanks for this opportunity. I really appreciate it.
Yo, no, thank you for taking time. Now, I don't want to take too much of your time because I know you're busy, but some rapid-fire Q&A just to get to know who the new Spur is from your neck of the woods over there at the Buckeyes area. Malachi Branham, you hear the word score. Just how potent of a score can Spurs fans expect coming from Malachi?
You're getting a young man that loves to score. And I don't say that facetiously or sarcastically. He loves to score. And I think in the NBA, as we all know, scoring is at a premium and scoring is easier now than it was even 10 years ago or 15 years ago or 5 years ago. You want a guy who loves to score and a guy that can put the ball in the basket. If you want a guy that can dribble drive and get to the hole and make some tougher baskets in the paint, Branham can do that with a 6'5 height. 180 pounds, he's also able to use 6'5", 180 and get to the mid-range. Now, his mid-range is not your average 18- or 19-year-old young man's mid-range. It's very polished, and it's very smooth, and he can quickly and easily, swiftly get to his sweet spots via a 1 or 2 dribble mid-range pull-up jump shot. That's one of the best things I like about him is that part of his game. It's him being able to get to the mid-range and exploit defenders in that way. Three-point shooting is there, needs improvement. But you're getting a young man that can score, had 35 points against Nebraska this past year. on the road. I believe that was a road game. Had another road game against Illinois where he was the leader in that game and helped Ohio State win that tough contest on the road. He is a gamer. He is someone that was thrust into a big spot due to an injury to Justice Suing last year. And when he started to get into his groove, baby, that thing kept rolling. You're getting a young man that is ready to learn, that is ready to step up into the NBA, and you're getting a young man that is ready to get better right now.
I look at him, and I think he's going to fit in well with San Antonio offensively, but we got to address the elephant in the room, defense. That's kind of a big knock on him right now, and he's going to a team slash a coach, Popovich, that really loves defense. First, how do you expect him in that department, to get better? Is it going to be a rough row for him on that end of the court? Or do you suspect that with the players that he's going to be teaming up with, DeJounte Murray, namely, that maybe that learning curve will be faster and shorter in his NBA career?
I think it'll take some time, and here's why. Okay. Like I said, he's 6'5", 180, but as you look at him, he is lanky. He's also skinny. Now, basketball players are skinny, but there are a lot of basketball players that are skinny that have some muscle mass to them that are strong. Branham is still growing. He's growing into his body. His brain is still developing. His body is still developing. And he hasn't really hit the weight room as much as I would like. Now, granted, 19 years old, 1 year in college, the muscle's going to come. You saw some times where the muscle was one of the things, the lack of muscle, lack of strength really hurts him at times on the defensive end. Sometimes, though, it's just mentally. Like, we all have mental lapses. We all have things where we are in our groove. All of a sudden, bam, it hits us. We're out of our groove. We're not in sync. We're not making wise decisions. It happens. But Malachi Branham had them sometimes, I won't say repeatedly, too much. The opposing team could realize that and say, oh, he's weak here.
Oh,
exploit that thing. Yeah. So I do think sometimes with the defense, it's not just – not that he doesn't have the ability. A lot of times it's just mental.
Right.
But defense is hard because defense, you have to constantly be engaged, constantly locked in. And when you're 19, 18, 19 years old, playing at Ohio State, playing Duke at home, going to the NCAA tournament, going to the Big Ten Conference tournament, sometimes those moments – might be too big for you at that time, or you're not realizing how bright the lights are going to be. Malachi Branham's defense needs to improve. Foot speed needs to improve. Quickness laterally needs to improve. He can get there. I think the strength that he lacks at 19, once he gets to 23, 24, 25, once he gets that strength, we'll easily see his defense improve in the National Basketball Association.
It's funny, right before, on your show, on the main Locked On Buckeyes show, you had a laugh with me when you asked, we're talking about defense. And I go, he said it's adequate. And you just started laughing like adequate. Yeah. Well, that's putting it nicely, but I do suspect that he will probably, his defensive learning curve will be a lot shorter, especially with Popovich. I mean, they're going to bash that into his head. How many times he needs to play defense. I've seen Popovich pull players. Yes. Even the likes of Tim Duncan off the court. Yeah. Whenever defensive lapses happen. But, hey, hopefully that will help Malachi in that department. Now, a couple more questions, and I know you got to go. Spurs fans are interested in knowing this. What is he like off the court? How is he with fans and the community? What is his personality?
I keep mentioning his age. But that goes into your personality. I'm 33, possibly 34, depending on when you post this. My birthday is on June 25th. So
happy the next
day
birthday.
After, thank you. The next day after we record this will be my birthday. So there's a big age gap between myself and Malachi Branham. And that's a part of who I am. Who I am now at 33 or 34 is not who I was at 18 or 19. He's youthful. He is fun. I don't believe I read or heard or saw or anything that was a bad reputation that he had. I didn't see him getting in trouble in the community or read articles about him and what he did late at night at a party. Didn't hear anything like that. Actually, good. Chris Holtman has recruited guys that don't do stuff like that, don't get in trouble, that aren't troublemakers. And Malachi Branham's one of those guys. Good. I've heard nothing, read nothing about anything that's been a wrongdoing that he has done. As far as the community, I do believe he'll be a community, a face in the community. I believe that people in San Antonio will love Malachi Branham and what he brings, not just on the court with his smile, but off the court with the fans, signing autographs, taking pictures, things of that nature. He is someone that people quickly are drawn to. He has a smile that will make you smile. Yeah. And I do think those are things that fans want to know. Am I going to read about this guy at 3 a.m. out at a club or out at a party acting a fool? No, I don't believe so. Now, I won't say it won't happen because we all know things have happened, but I don't think it will. And I do believe that Malachi Branham is going to be one of those guys that is going to be someone who is out of trouble and helping people in the community as much as he can.
Yeah, that's something that was noticed at the draft, how much he was smiling. He was even asked that in one of the press conferences after the main press conference. Yeah, you're always smiling. He's like, yeah, that's just who I am. Always smiling, always smiling. So I like that out of him. Now, I'll let you go briefly after this last question here. We know that he's a three-level scorer. We know that he needs to work on defensive end. We got that. But what is something that might surprise Spurs fans when they watch him play on that court that we don't know about? Is it his speed? Is his ability to play the passing lanes? Is it his leaping ability? What are we not seeing that you think should be highlighted?
He's a gamer. He is somebody that when the game is on and he gets into that groove, Tim, you've seen Tim Duncan get into a groove, or Manu Ginobili, or Tony Parker, where they just get into a groove. And it might not simply be just scoring points. Let me say this quickly. Sometimes getting into a groove is locking in defensively and knocking your man down. Sometimes getting into a groove is quickly dishing 5 assists in a row, two guys that are wide open. You're like, how did he see them? He's just in that groove. Sometimes he gets into that groove. A lot of times we saw it offensively with the Buckeyes. And when he's in that groove, he is on. And no matter if it's San Antonio or if it's the Austin Spurs, he is going to be one of those guys that is going to be able to be someone you love when he's in that groove. We have seen some guys, Russell Westbrook, he can get into a groove, but he can also make some boneheaded plays in the midst of a run. Malachi Branham, once he's locked in, baby, he is going and going. Now, I don't mean to like throw Russ under the bus. Russ is also on the back half of his career. And we have all seen what has happened over the past few years as Russ is on a very steep decline. He can still play basketball, just not like he did 5 years ago.
Right.
Malachi Branham, I think in 5 years, will be a whole lot better. And I think we'll see him getting to that groove consistently. And I do think in 5 years, defensive lock-ins will be something that will be a staple in his career.
He is Jay Stevens, host of Locked On Buckeyes podcast. Jay, take it away. Tell my fans over here at Locked On Spurs how they can chat with you, how they can subscribe with Locked On Buckeyes.
Jeff Garcia, this has been fun. For everyone listening on YouTube or your favorite podcast listening app, you can follow Locked On Buckeyes every single day, Monday through Friday. Yes, the college show is in the offseason. We're still going strong all 5 days. You'll quickly see why once you tap into the show. Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, the Odyssey app, Spotify, wherever you get your fine podcasts, you can find Locked On Buckeyes daily on YouTube as well. And we do some cut-ups of some short clips that you will want to see and watch and see how much fun we have over in Locked On Buckeyes. Every Monday through Friday, you'll see us, you'll see me. We have fun. I have fun. Join us for some fun. I think you'll enjoy the show.
Follow him on Twitter at JStevens07. Do it right now. Jay, I was a little disappointed, though, with the number 9 pick. The Spurs didn't select you out of Ohio. I was upset. Out of Indiana, I'm sorry. I was really hoping to see your name be called, but dang. Maybe next time.
You do realize that your head coach is from the state of Indiana.
Exactly.
So an Indiana coach played high school basketball in the state of Indiana. Drafting myself, it would have been a great connection, but it just didn't happen.
He is Jay Stevens, and follow him again on Twitter at JStevens07.